Don't Call It a Comeback. One of our favorite municipal libraries is back with Rockin' Fest celebrating all things loud. The Westport Library is presenting VersoFest 2024 with Chuck D, The Lemon Twigs, Spin Doctors, and legendary producer Tony Visconti for 5 days of programming that celebrate creativity in the arts. EJ Crawford and Brendan Toller join us once again to discuss how the show gets put together and what this programming means for Westport. The Municipal Voice is the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities podcast in collaboration with WNHH LP 103.5 FM. I'm your host, Matt Ford. As always, be sure to give us a like and let us know what you're thinking in the comments. CCM's Municipal Voice podcast continues to present a key forum on important state-local issues. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the consensus views of CCM or member municipal leaders. EJ, Brennan, thanks for coming on the show again.
Oh, it's good absolutely. To be back. Yeah.
Yeah, very thanks so much for having us.
So we had you on a year ago, but if you could just give yourself a brief introduction and your areas of focus at Westport Public Library.
Sure. I'm Brendan Toller, marketing manager of Verso Studios. Verso Studios is our media and production hub and also venue space. We offer incredible programming, training, and events year-round. So if you don't know us, please go online and sign up for our e-news and check out our website and see everything that we have to offer.
EJ Crawford, I'm the marketing communications director for the library. So obviously Verso kind of falls under a lot of what we do. And, you know, Verso Fest is very much, such a one of our biggest events of the year. So, you know, happy to come on and talk about as much as we can and hopefully get as many people as possible to come and check us out.
Definitely. What was the reaction to the fest like from library patrons? Do people love this concept?
I would say that, you know, VersoFest draws on the region, the tri-state area and Connecticut. Last year, I think we saw about 3,000 people come through our doors in that weekend. Wow. So, you know, it's opening up users who are interested in media, filmmaking, music, all different aspects of, expression and artistic output. We are pushing the envelope as a traditional library. We are joking that we're one of the noisiest libraries in the country. So, we last year we produced our own record with local artists, and we're the first library to produce, distribute, and release a vinyl record. So, it's a bit of a new concept, but as you can see, we're back in our third year for VersoFest, so it's catching on and success is coming our way.
Great.
And so much of it too is, you know, we have seen a really good reception from people in town, but, you know, as Brendan said, what's so great is that this allows us to kind of reach beyond Westport a little bit too. And, you know, we hope that the people in town are proud to be, you know, to have their local library produce something like this. And, you know, bring in, you know, some of the artists we have coming in this year, you know, to have Chuck D and Lemon Twigs and Spin Doctors and Tony Visconti and John Densmore and Cindy Dunaway. And, you know, to have all these people coming into, you know, their library is pretty cool. And we hope that then people from all over the state and beyond will come and check us out and see all the other amazing things that they can do here. You know, hopefully come back again and again.
Yeah, I mean, have you heard anything from, like, the businesses near the library? Like, last year, were they excited to have these crowds coming around? Or did it, you know, show an uptick in business for the area?
I mean, the arts are, it's study after study, you know, their main economic driver. I mean, you think what brings people out to dinner, out to lunch, it's a lot of these events. And I think certainly Westport has seen an uptick of different people, not just at VersoFest, but for the film screenings we have, the concerts and events that we have year round at the library. You know, it's downtown is walkable from the library, so it's got to be nice for the local restaurants and the shops. VersoFest, we're proud to have a very large food truck this year that will be on site for Saturday and Sunday. So don't even have to go too far off site to be able to eat and enjoy the festival.
One-stop shopping at the Verso Fest.
Yes.
So how soon after, you know, a fest is done, do you guys start thinking, all right, we're going to get so-and-so for next year?
EJ?
Yeah, I mean, pretty darn soon, you know. It's one of those things, what is it? It's kind of like... What do they say after like a game, right? You take like 24 hours to enjoy the victory and then you move on to the next one. So I think we're kind of the same. You know, we take maybe a couple days to decompress and, you know, a little bit of time to, you know, spend a little bit of time thinking about what we did right, you know, what we can do better. Certainly, you know, there's always kind of those conversations and then it's on to the next. I mean, you know, you have to start thinking in advance. I mean, to have, you know, we obviously we're a library, right? We don't have the resources of a corporation and, you know, we don't have that staffing. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're organized and we're thinking in advance or, you know, we'd never be able to execute, you know, a 5-day festival like this.
Yeah. Speaking of staffing, is it, what's involved with staffing? Is it just you two? Do you have volunteers? Like, do you get help with this? What's the
No, we're really fortunate. We have a great team. So, I mean, we have an entire programming team. We have a patron services team. And really, again, to put on a 5-day festival, you know, three nights and then, you know, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, it's going to take pretty much everybody in the library. You know, we need, you know, the folks in reference who can be very flexible and accommodating and trying to make sure that, you know, our patrons who are coming here to use the library, just, you know, as a library can still access books and things like that. And, you know, we have, you know, our development team working to secure sponsorship. We have, you know, a lot of people on our admin team planning, staffing, making sure that we have people working the merch table or working the bar or, you know, checking people in. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, as I said, for a library or for any place that doesn't have a huge staff, you know, you kind of do a little bit of everything. And that's certainly the case here. So we're fortunate to have such a great group of people to work with.
Yeah. And you mentioned sponsorships. Is that an important part of this? Does that help pay for the bill for this?
Big time. I mean, the more we can rope in underwriters or community partners or media partners, we've really seen this grow into a community effort, and that's how any, festival or conference like this is successful. You look at South by Southwest, you look at the Pop Conference in Seattle, and it's always, you're hinging not only into local artists and local businesses, but you're attracting global talent. So it's kind of a nice mix. And that's really what Verso is all about, is giving artists and even just amateurs or the curious the next step to be able to do what they want to do and elevate their craft.
Awesome.
And the sponsorship and underwriters are so important too, because I mean, an important note for VersoFest, you know, we have, you know, Chuck D Wednesday night, Lemon Twigs Thursday night, and Spin Doctors Friday night are our paid tickets. Everything else is free. You know, everything that's happening Saturday, that includes all the panels, that's all the workshops. You know, on Sunday we have, you know, we have like an introduction of kind of PLR and Fleetwood Mac. We have a fashion roundtable. We have a celebration of the 51st anniversary of Wild Style, the first hip hop motion picture. All these are panels. All of them are free. You know, we ask people to register because we just got to make sure we have enough seats for everyone. But, you know, so it, having, you know, having money and being able to offset some of those costs is so important.
Yeah,
So.
definitely. I can imagine. Coming into this year, while Verso Fest obviously is coming up in April, you had a benefit that took place in February. Our producer Chris was lucky enough to go to it. And you screened the A24 restored edition of Talking Heads live concert movie, Stop Making Sense, which was then followed up by a Q&A with Chris Frantz and Tina Weymouth of the Talking Heads. How did that event come together, considering, that movie was only playing in selected cities? Did Frantz and Weymouth being Connecticut residents kind of help sell that event?
Yeah, so I'll let
Westport
Brendan
residents,
actually get the Q&A
yeah.
for that. He was the moderator for that conversation with Chris and Tina, so I'll let him take this one.
I was going to say, yeah, Chris and Tina are Westport residents,
Oh, so
so
even more local than Connecticut,
this
yeah.
is their hometown library, and they have been co-conspirators since day one in the planning stages of the first year of Verso Fest. We're sad that they'll be away abroad this year for the festival, but they're certainly there in spirit. As soon as A24 dropped the film, we asked Chris and Tina, how could we get this here? We are so lucky to have an 18-foot HD screen as a part of our venue space in the Treps Forum. It's not a projection screen. It's some sort of LED or some kind of lighting technology. It looks incredible for film screenings, and we have a concert grade PA, so the sound is unbelievable. And it was such a fun screening because people were hooting and hollering and cheering and clapping after each song. You saw videos from LA of people dancing in the aisles, and we had a bit of that. But it's just so nice that we can kind of convert the library into a space that's more loose and celebratory and rock and roll. It's about time that the patrons and their interests sort of invade the library and again just have a whole new user base.
So even though they've been pretty adamant about not getting back together, what did it feel like to ask two living legends to get the band back together?
Well, I couldn't leave that question on the table.
Yeah.
It's the elephant in the room. And I think that they're taking the rare stance. They're not going for zillions of dollars, and they're going with their gut and they're going with integrity. And what a fine example for all these artists that are
Yeah.
in the Talking Heads, those five, or four. They have a big band. Sometimes it's extended.
So Tina Weymouth gave a pretty good answer as to why Talking Heads probably won't ever get back together. But other than the Talking Heads, what bands would you like to see get back together?
Oh boy. That's tough to say. I mean, you're talking to somebody who it's like their main area of focus is 60s and 70s, and many of the bands that I did love and do love and revere have gotten back together. I mean, if somehow you could resurrect Otis Redding
Bring him
non-hologram
back from the
style, and
dead.
I could see that Whiskey a Go-Go 1966 show. That'd be it for me.
Course, I think I'd go for REM, but that's a
Oh,
different
that's
animal.
and that's not out of the question. I think that we'll see that at some point.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
might happen. You never know. EJ,
Yeah.
you got anyone you'd like to see get back together?
Ah, God, that's a really hard question. I was hoping you'd just kind of skip past me. There's certain I don't know. I miss like the early incarnation of the Shins. Those first two albums were just so great, and I kind of miss that. Another band that I loved their first couple albums, and then the kind of the female singer left was Houndmouth. That's another one I'd like to see that original band get back together, because that I again same thing. I thought their first two albums were out of this world. But oh man, that's a tough question. There's so
Yeah.
many good bands out there.
Pavement, if you're listening, you can get back together too. I'd like to see that tour.
Oh, they're around.
They're out. Yeah, hopefully they were. My daughter just discovered them, so I'd be actually be pretty stoked if that happened. That'd be sweet. So getting more into this year's lineup, we should talk about hip hop. Last year was the 50th anniversary of the birth of hip hop, and a lot of record labels and outlets celebrated all year. But this year you guys are having Chuck D to kick things off with a panel on Wild Style, which is of course the first hip hop film, pretty much. How important is it to you to feature hip hop at the fest?
We are very lucky to live in an area where a lot of the originators of hip hop travel from the Bronx and Harlem, and they situated themselves in Bridgeport. Tony Tone from the Cold Crush Brothers lives in Bridgeport, and we met him at the first hip hop event that we did. I think having them, having hip hop artists in that space is a conversion point for a lot of people. First of all, the crowd was never more diverse and never more rocking too. The first Legend Beats and Grooves we did partnering with G's Records, it really elevated and showed the craft and skill and technique of vinyl DJing. And you can hear it certainly, but we have a camera that shows what they're doing with their hands. And it's just unreal the tricks that they're doing, showing off with, sort of body movement stuff in terms of DJing, but just also what you're hearing in the sampling and the mixing. Just incredible. So I think that, it's very easy within media when you're thinking about booking a festival to go with the status quo and go with the dominant, which is, let's face it, white males. And you have to kind of think about, who else are we representing? Who else needs to be in this space? And so really a lot of this festival is just relying on, what are our local strengths and resources? And you have it big time in places like Norwalk, Bridgeport, New Haven. So it's got to be there.
There's talent in the area.
Yeah.
It's not too hard to find.
Yeah.
It really, that was For last year's VersoFest, like, one of the absolute coolest things. I mean,
Yeah.
to Brendan's point, the level of craftsmanship it takes to do what they do, and then again, like the entertainment value of it too, to be able to do both those things at once
Yeah.
is pretty impressive. And not a lot of people can pull it off. And so much of it, again, it's just we want this festival to be, a big encompassing thing. We want it to be something that, everybody can come to and everybody can find something that they love. And the best case for any kind of festival like this is everybody sees themselves somewhere in it, and everybody can come there and learn something new, right?
Yeah.
Or find something they didn't know they loved until they saw it. So to be able to kind of have all the different elements, it makes it really special. And the fact that we can do it all here in a library, in this space is remarkable and just very, very cool.
One of my favorite moments, and I think EJ would agree, was, they were really rocking at the hip hop event, and all of a sudden this crowd member just stands up with a whistle and starts, it
Feeling
was
it,
just
huh?
it was already wild and just kind of jaw-dropping, and then it was just like the block party aspect just emerged right then and there. It was really fun.
Went back to its
And
roots.
then we followed it up with, a film, an Alice Cooper group. So we followed it immediately following the hip hop event. We had a bunch of people come in with Alice Cooper t-shirts and
Nice.
stuff like that to come for that. And it was like just the coolest group of people to be in the library at one time. And it was such a great example of kind of what our vision for this was, like seeing it all together. It was neat.
You are listening to the Municipal Voice on WNHH 103.5 FM. So, other than hip hop, it seems like this year there's a bit of a celebration of all things glam. A fashion roundtable, Glam to Punk, a David Bowie exhibit centered on the Diamond Dogs era, and of course, Tony Visconti, famous for producing Bowie and T-Rex. Did you intentionally aim to have a cluster of focus, or did it just kind of happen naturally?
So much of this is ideation, scheduling, and luck. So we had secured Tony Visconti pretty early on, which was very exciting. And then, we had had a fashion panel last year with organized by Rachel Felder, who's a author and writer. And we had Christian Joy, who's Karen O's designer, and we had Vivian Goldman, who was sort of a designer, writer, and scenester in London during the punk years. So, we had this, and Cindy and Dennis were there, and they were like, Cindy designed some of the first glam rock like stage wear. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course. So, that was in the back of our minds for this year. So it all kind of came together, to have Tony Visconti, and then the added bonus of Paul Brenton, who did the Alice Cooper Museum last year. He is actually a Diamond Dogs collector. That was the first tour he saw as a young teen, and so he's bringing artifacts down. It's all day Saturday and Sunday, a free exhibit with crazy. We're getting shipments in right now, just crazy memorabilia. I'm salivating. I can't wait to open these boxes. And then he's going to have Mark Ravitz, who's, one of Bowie's main stage designers there, Glass Spiders tour, Serious Moonlight, of course, Diamond Dogs, Kiss, Backstreet Boys. So he's going to be like a living part of the installation and exhibition. But I mean, maybe it's just what's coming out of me subconsciously. Like, I'm a huge glam rock fan. I'm a DJ. I DJ once a month at Cafe Nine, an event called Shake and Vibrate, and I lean heavily on sort of glam and punk 45s. So it just all it's serendipity is what it is.
What other panels and events are you excited about?
EJ?
Oh man, I mean, I think some of like I think one of the really cool things we do is a lot of the workshops, right? I mean, I think that's like a really neat opportunity for people to come in and get to experience, so much cool stuff. We have a Teach Rock workshop before the Chef D event, which we're actually going to do in our forum, and that's going to be really, really cool. I think we have some really smart workshops too. We have one that's kind of on like the legal side of music, one about how to learn how to kind of price your, how to kind of like properly like sell yourself, right? I think a lot of musicians are so happy to get heard, they don't realize that there is like true value in their craft and the work they're doing. So I think that's pretty neat too. In terms of the panels, and Brendan can talk more about it. I mean, there's one that's going to be on kind of the early days of Fleetwood Mac, kind of the first of the Buckingham Nicks era Fleetwood Mac. And they did a show for PLR, like a tiny show, like 100 people in the room or something like that. And we're going to have people here to kind of talk about, kind of how that happened. And it was all in Connecticut. So it's a real, again, look at kind of Connecticut music lore. I think that'll be a really cool one. And then, I mean, obviously everything we mentioned, some of the really big ticket items would be cool, but those are some of the other ones that might sneak a little under the radar that I think are going to be really, really neat for people.
Yeah, definitely. Brendan, anything you're excited about?
Well, I'm obviously very excited for the Lemon Twigs, not only that we're having them at Verso, but just I'm excited for them as a band. I had seen them in October at the Space Ballroom here in Hamden, and I would say there's maybe 180 people there, pretty packed room for that space. We have sold well over 350 tickets for them, and that'll climb as we go into the two final weeks of promotion. But they're playing a few dates at TVI in Brooklyn, and then they're off to Primavera Sound in Barcelona. So I just think that that band is just incredible, songcraft, wonderful stage show. I keep telling people it's like seeing the Raspberries. I can't go back to the 70s, but it kind of feels like that with them. And I'm so excited to see them in the Verso space. It's a super unique venue for those that haven't been yet. Amazing sound. The vantage point to the stage is it's a wide venue, but you're no more than like 30 feet from the stage.
There's no
And
bad
especially
seats.
with the screen and the lights, it's just a super cool place to see somebody. And yeah, I sort of strong armed the Fleetwood Mac panel that is happening on Sunday, or yeah, a Sunday, to kick things off. And that is a major, it's an often bootleg show. Beautiful broadcast, really captures the beginning of that new era of the band that would go on to just dominate the 70s and dominate the world still. And the story behind it, of just the community grassroots organizing it took to feed the crowd with Subway sandwiches and the beer and the tickets at mattress stores, and just it's a real 1970s tale, and the photos are incredible. And just wait till you hear the tracks. There's a reason why Mick Fleetwood ran off with the master tapes right after that recording. So it's an incredible story, and I hope it generates interest to get this band to release this thing. It's a spellbinding document.
So I know we said at the beginning that last year was a success. And I asked how soon after you started planning the next one, realizing that 2024 hasn't even happened yet, but who do you want to see show up at a future one of these fests? Who do you think could
Laurie
sell out the
Anderson.
Westport Library?
I don't know. It's a very good question. I mean, we all have our ideas and our dreams. Like I just said, I'd love to see Laurie Anderson do something at the library and do something with the space and the screen and what we have there. Geez, I don't know. I've had people run into me and say, like big, music executives, and they're like, well, who do you want to get? And it's one of those things that it's kind of like when you're about to name a band, it's like you could have 100 great ideas, and then when you come to do it, you sort of draw a blank. So we do have a rolling ideas folder, and group discussions about who we think would be good. But geez, I mean, we tried for Kathleen Hanna this year, and she's doing her book tours at places like Barclays Center, so we're a little small for her, I think. But I don't know, EJ, who would you like to see?
I mean, we got, that we think local. It's like, it's in Paul Simon in New Canaan and Keith Richards is in Weston. So,
Yeah,
I
that's
mean,
always the
they don't have to
dream, right?
travel far, at least, they can do it by car. I mean, so much of putting this thing together is, you got to do the work and you got to find people. We got to identify people that we think are, maybe aspirational, but somewhat realistic. It's like we're probably not going to get, I don't know, like, Taylor Swift to come. It's probably not going to happen for us, but There are other bands that we think we can get, and then it's everything is to Brendan's point earlier, serendipity. Like things got to match up. We got to find the time of year when we're doing it, and is the band traveling? Are they nearby? We have a lot of people who I think would be great. I mean, personally, I'd love to see Josh Ritter come. I mean, he's one of my favorites, and he's an artist and an author as well as a singer-songwriter, so he'd be a good fit for a space like ours. So it's a matter of trying to find, get all those things to match up. And that's why, it's so hard to plan a festival. I think anybody who does it, would have that. And obviously with the constraints of being a functioning library the year round, we kind of narrow our focus a little bit or our possibilities. But so you try and find a lot of things, and then you see who works, and you hope that it all comes together. And we've been very fortunate so far that it has for, now this will be our third pretty great year. And I think each year it's been better, and we're getting better at it, at putting together a music and media festival, and hopefully creating a really cool event for the community, for the tri-state area, and something that, the people who are in this town can be proud to be associated with.
And what's the future of VersoFest? Do you see it getting bigger?
I don't know if we
At a
can. I
certain
don't think
point, we can only hold so many people in the
it's ever.
library, but yeah.
Yeah, I
Very
mean,
cool.
certainly as much as we can, we're going to continue to push the envelope as much as we can afford to do so, and that we have the staff capacity to do. And ideally, we hope to keep on getting great people. I mean, it's hard to say we're going to do bigger and better than we've done so far. I mean, I can't imagine. You look at having Sunflower Bean and last year, and Lemon Twigs this year, and Smithereens last year, Spin Doctors this year, Chuck D this year, Steve Lillywhite last year, Tony Visconti, John Densmore. I mean, these are just awesome people. Miriam Linna, Christine Ullman. I mean, Brendan mentioned earlier, the Cold Crush Brothers and Grand Wizard Theodore. Like, these are unbelievable people. These are people I never thought that I would get a chance to host in a job when I was thinking about what I'd do with my career, much less to have them in the library is it's awesome. So, we're very thankful for everything, and we hope to continue to do it moving forward.
Great. All right. So before we go, VersoFest 2024, what are the dates?
April 3rd through April 7th.
April 3rd through April 7th. And where can people go to find out more about this?
Westportlibrary.org/VersoFest.
Excellent. Well, EJ Brennan, thanks for coming on the show and telling us about this year's VersoFest. I hope it's
Thank you
a
such,
big
man. Thank you so
success.
much. Yeah.
Yeah,
Thanks.
thank you. Thank you again. Thank you so much for having us. And again, we're looking forward to it. Hope to see everybody there.
We'd like to thank our guests, EJ Crawford and Brennan Toler. The Municipal Voice is a co-production by CCM and WNHH 103.5 FM. Christopher Gilson is our producer, Harry Draws is on the boards, and I'm Matt Ford, your host. Be sure to check out our Facebook page and give us a like, and watch out for our CCM chat series on our YouTube page.